Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi.
With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. If you have a Bible question or some troublesome life issue you'd like to discuss, we'd love to hear about it right now and take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution in the person of Jesus Christ and walking in His life every day. The lines are open for you right now at 844-322-2742, and that, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we would certainly love to hear from you on today's broadcast, 844-322-2742. Call right now if you have a question about a particular Bible verse, a problem in life that you would like for some biblical wisdom. Go ahead and call that number, 844-322-2742. A program note, tomorrow is a special teaching edition. It's the third in our series of the Christmas story. We're going to take a look at the first chapter of the Gospel of John, verses 1 through 18. You don't want to miss this particular teaching about the Christmas story from God's perspective. So again, that's tomorrow on Basic Gospel, a special teaching edition on the Christmas story. Today I want to read out of the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. It says, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets." So we see that in the Old Testament. There were many prophets that God spoke through to the people of God, giving them information about who God was and the promises God was making to them and how those promises were going to be fulfilled. And in all of that narrative and all of that information that the prophets brought to the people of God, there was this story about a Messiah that was to come. There was information about what he would be like, what he would do, what he would accomplish, where he would be born, and even the when he would be born. So all of that was being unfolded through the prophets years and years ago. But there's a contrast. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So Jesus Christ is God's final word and highest word to mankind. He is the reality that the Old Testament was speaking about. The Old Testament was a shadow. It presented pictures of what was going to happen through the Messiah, what he was going to accomplish for us. But Jesus is the real thing. And 2,000 years ago, he was born into this world. He took upon himself flesh and blood, and he dwelt among us, and he carried out the will of his Father. That's the message that God is speaking to us today. It is a message of salvation. It is a message of life. It is a message of forgiveness. It is a message of hope. So the story God wants you to know is the story of Jesus. The truth that God wants you to know is the truth about Jesus. The life that God wants you to experience is the very life of Jesus Christ himself. So Jesus Christ is God's good news to man. When the angel came to the shepherds, he announced, "Today, in the town of Bethlehem, a Savior has been born, Christ the Lord." And he said, "This is good news that will bring joy to all people." Jesus is God's good news to man. So if you want to know what God is going to speak to you today, look at the person and work of Jesus. In Jesus, you're going to find out everything that you need to know about God the Father. In Jesus, you're going to find out everything that you need to know about yourself and how you and God the Father can have a relationship through Jesus Christ the Son. So Jesus is that great Logos. He is the explanation of the story of God and man being reconciled, brought together in him. Well, this is Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742 is the number. We would love to hear from you right now. Go ahead and call. Fill up those phone lines, 844-322-2742. We have a wonderful resource that we want to put in your hands as a way of saying thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel this month. It is our Basic Gospel 2020 calendar. And Greg Park, our engineer, had this great idea after a conference. We had many of the memes that Michelle Lister puts together for us, and he said, why don't we put those together in a calendar form? And so that's what we've done. It is beautifully done. It will be a great reminder to you day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out, of the wonderful grace that God has given to you in the person of Christ Jesus. So we want to put this in your hands. It's available for a gift this month, the Basic Gospel. All that information on how you can give is at basicgospel.net. Just click the donate button and follow all the information. And as you're filling out the information, be sure and request your copy of the Basic Gospel 2020 calendar. You can also call 844-322-2742 and ask Michelle, tell Michelle that you would like a copy of the 2020 calendar. I know you will be encouraged by this all throughout next year. And just a reminder, we have a Grace Matching Gift Challenge, and any amount that's given up to $62,000 is going to be matched dollar for dollar. So right now you have an opportunity to double the impact of your gift through Basic Gospel. Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher. 844-322-2742 is the number. We would love to hear from you on today's edition. So call that number right now, 844-322-2742. We're going to listen to this question that came in to us overnight.
Hi. My question is, in the Old Testament, in the Old Law, it talks about the days of a woman's uncleanness following giving birth to a male versus a female child. And then in the New Testament, in the book of Luke, it talks about how they took Jesus to the temple on the eighth day, and, you know, the prophetess saw him and they blessed him and circumcised him according to the law. And it appears that Mary was present at that event, but according to the Old Law, she would have still been unclean. Can you answer that question for me, maybe how that is possible? Thanks very much.
Well, I certainly could, and it's just the answer comes through a simple reading of the text. We see that the shepherds, after they saw the babe, they returned back to their fields, glorifying and praising God for all they heard and seen as it had been told them. And then in verse 21 of Luke chapter 2, it says, and at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So we assume that took place there in Bethlehem. It doesn't say that they took Jesus to the temple for this circumcision. But then the next verse, verse 22, says, and when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now, that would have been after 40 days. That's what the law prescribed in Leviticus 12, verses 1 through 6. So since Jesus was a male, then it had a certain number of days that Mary had to stay away. That was 40 days. And so after that 40 days, when the time of purification had come, they left Bethlehem, went up to Jerusalem for that particular purification. So that happened exactly as the law prescribed it. So I hope that helps, and thank you for that question. We certainly appreciate it. We're going to take another question that came into us.
Three times I've never been able to get through live. If no bones were broken in Jesus' body, why is it the communion says he blessed the bread, he broke the bread, and he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for thee? But I thought there was no bones broken. And I'm a ordained minister. I'm struggling with this at 75 years of age. Was his bones broken or not? The Bible says they weren't.
Well, and since the Bible says that they weren't broken, they weren't broken. As a matter of fact, that was a prophecy from the Old Testament that none of his bones would be broken. The Roman soldiers went to break his bones to accelerate his death so they could take him off the cross. And when they arrived, they saw that he had already passed, that his spirit has left his body and he was hanging dead on the cross. So they did not break the bones of Jesus to fulfill that particular prophecy. Now, as far as the Lord's Supper is concerned, for example, in Luke 22, when Jesus was having that last Passover meal with his disciples, it says he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them. So he broke the bread. Now, he said, after breaking the bread, "This is my body, which is given for you." So he doesn't say that his body was broken, that the bones of his body were going to be broken. He said he offered that body, he gave his body for them. He gave his body as a sacrifice to take away the sins of the people once and for all. So his body was given for that purpose. And in giving his body for that purpose, he fulfilled the old covenant, brought it to an end, and he ushered in a new covenant in which it says that our sins have been forgiven, and where these have been forgiven, there's no longer any sacrifice for sin, and that these sins will be remembered no more. So Jesus doesn't say that his body was broken. He says he is giving his body for you and for me. And if you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you see the same thing. It doesn't say that Jesus's body was broken. It just simply says they broke the bread in remembrance of the fact that Jesus gave his body so that you and I could become members of that body of Christ. So again, it's a matter in both of these questions of simply looking at the text and seeing exactly what it says. So when we read that he broke the bread, we think, well, that's because his body was broken. Well, that's not what the text says. It simply says that Jesus gave his body for you and for me, and that's good news. And he gave it as a sacrifice for sins, to take away sin once and for all, so that we could be made alive together with him, so that we could be added to the body, so that we could become a member of the body of Jesus Christ. Well, I hope that helps, and I hope that solves that problem for you, and we certainly thank you for calling and asking that. We do have plenty of open lines right now at 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you. 844-322-2742. We received this question from one of our YouTube viewers. He asked this: did Jesus Christ raise himself from the dead, or did God the Father raise him from the dead? Now, that's an interesting question, isn't it? And we see a couple of times, for example, in the Gospel of John, John chapter 2, verse 19, Jesus said, looking at the temple, he said, "Tear this down, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And the text goes on to say that he was referring to his body. So Jesus was going to raise himself from the dead, according to that particular passage. We see in John chapter 10, verse 18, he is saying that no one takes my life from me. I lay it down, and then I pick it up again. So we see in those two passages, Jesus is saying that he is going to raise himself from the dead. But we see in other passages that God the Father has raised him from the dead. Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 10 says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. So we see there that God raised him from the dead. And this really gets back to the Trinity, doesn't it? God is one, yet he manifests himself in three persons. And we know that God raised Jesus from the dead. We see that Jesus had the power to do that. So we just have to rest in the fact that Jesus died, and on the third day he came back to life. And that is our hope. We know it happened. So how it happened, and all of that, that's the power of God over death, and overcoming death in such a way that our fear of death has been shattered once and for all. So this is good news. This is the hope of the gospel. So I tell people, you know, God raised Jesus from the dead. God the Father raised Jesus from the dead. But that doesn't negate all the things that Jesus said about having the power to raise him back, raise himself back from the dead. Well, thank you so much for that question. We certainly appreciate it. Again, 844-322-2742 is the number. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. Jay writes to us in Luke chapter 2, we are told the story about the birth of Jesus. As a part of the story, an angel of the Lord appeared and said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. The angel of the Lord proclaims that today for you a Savior has been born." Clearly the scriptures identify Jesus as the Savior. So to be a Savior requires that they rescue us from something. So what did Jesus Christ deliver us from? Boy, what a great question this is. And thank you, Jay, for asking it. And what Jesus, the name itself means to deliver us, it means a Savior. And it says that Jesus was going to save his people from their sins. So what did Jesus deliver us from? He delivered us from the penalty and the power of sin and death. We see in Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, that God delivered us out of the realm of darkness and placed us into the kingdom of the Son in whom he loves. So we were delivered out of darkness. We were delivered from the penalty and power of sin. We were delivered from death. We cross over from death into life. We're made alive together with Jesus Christ. So we were delivered from everything that the sin of Adam and Eve brought to each and every one of us. We were delivered from that old identity of being a sinner, and now we're children of God. We are delivered from that old sinful nature, that we were circumcised in our hearts, and now we have new hearts. So we've been delivered from a lot, and when we understand that, when we understand what Jesus has rescued us from, what he's delivered us from, then this grace of God that has accomplished all of that really becomes precious to us. So often we simply think of the grace of God as something that grants us entry into heaven when we die, and we don't see its importance in our day-to-day life. But when we recognize that we've been delivered from darkness so that we could walk in light, that we've been delivered from death so that we could walk in the newness of life, when we've been delivered from the penalty of sin so that we could walk free in Christ Jesus, this grace of God becomes incredibly precious and wonderful to each and every one of us. Now, the next question that Jay asks is, please explain your answer and provide some scriptures to support your reply. And I hope these scriptures that I've mentioned will be sufficient to answer that question. So, Jay, thank you. You've been delivered from so much because of the work of Jesus Christ. He truly has saved you from your sins. He has saved you from the consequence of your sins, death. He has saved you from the realm of darkness so that you could walk in his marvelous light. Well, this is Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742 is the number. We still have a little time on the clock. I do want to remind you that Basic Gospel is listener supported. We rely on contributions from friends just like you to help us get this good news of Jesus Christ out there through the Basic Gospel radio broadcast, through our YouTube channel, through all the various channels that we share this good news through. So your gift today will mean a whole lot to us and will mean a whole lot to somebody who gets connected to the love of Jesus Christ because you gave. Right now we have the Grace Matching Gift Challenge going on, up to $62,000. Every dollar that is given is matched up to that amount, which means you have the opportunity right now to double your impact. This world needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. This world needs to know that God is love, and all of that is made known to us through the person and work of Jesus Christ. So help us get the power of the gospel out there to as many people as possible so that they too can be delivered from sin and death, raised to walk in the newness of life. All the information on how you can give is available at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. So click on the donate link and follow all the instructions there, and be sure to request your copy of the Basic Gospel 2020 calendar, and we want to get that to you as quickly as possible. We had this question that came in to us from Sally. She said, I just rewatched What Does It Mean to Be Filled with the Spirit, and she has a question. So does this mean you aren't necessarily spirit-filled when you were born again, and could this be a separate event from being born again? And I think that's a very important question. When somebody receives the good news of Jesus Christ, believes that Jesus died for their sins, was buried, and was raised on the third day, they're born again. They're made new. They cross over from death to life, and God's Spirit takes up residence. So at that point in time, we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Now, that's a permanent transaction, and God will never leave us or forsake us. He's going to be inside of us forever. He's the deposit guaranteeing our eternal inheritance. So this is a done fact. It's something that's been accomplished. Christ has come to live inside of us. Now, the idea of being filled with the Spirit is something different. It means to be controlled by the love of God. So this isn't an event, a separate event that happens. It's a part of our way of life. It's a part of this newness of life that we've been raised to walk in. We have been raised to live loved by Jesus Christ, and then to pass on that love to others. Well, the Spirit of God is the one who teaches us about the love of God, who teaches us the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus, and gives us a heart experience of that, not just a knowledge, a factual knowledge, but a heart experience of the love of God. And as we grow in our understanding of that love of God, then that love of God will start to shape our decisions and how we handle the relationships that we're in. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. So this is the process that we're in of growing in the grace of God, being controlled by the Spirit of God in our relationships and in everything that we do in life. So the one event that happened was the fact that Jesus came to indwell us through his Spirit. That happened at new birth. We are continually, and that's what the verb means, that we are to be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit, which means being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thanks so much for joining us on this edition, a special edition tomorrow, teaching on the story of Christmas from the Gospel of John. So join us tomorrow at this same time for a special teaching edition of Basic Gospel.